This is Mark Freeland, and I'm doing an interview with my grandpa, Claire Freeland, for my English class, 6-hour honors with Mrs. Titoff. My subject is deer hunting, and I'll be doing my interview. What do you remember about deer hunting in the 30s and 40s?
Well, I remember in the early 30s, the deer herd was pretty well down. I didn't start to hunt until 1936. That's when I was just old enough to start hunting, and the deer were not too plentiful at that time. Later in the 40s, the deer herd was multiplying, and the yarding conditions were real good. The cedar swamps were full of browse at lower levels, and then the deer hunting got much better as time went by.
Okay, what do you remember about when you first started hunting deer? What are some maybe memorable moments?
Well, my first buck, I guess, would probably be the most memorable that I can recall. It also was my largest trophy. And I was hunting with a rifle that my brother had, which was a small caliber, 3220, rather small for deer. And this big buck I watched all morning and hadn't seen a thing. And when we were coming out behind the car, this big one crossed the road. We started crossing the road. And I started shooting, emptied my gun, and fortunately, I got him.
What do you remember about hunting a deer for food? I know you were pretty poor like back in them, and was it really necessary to get deer for food?
Well, we felt it was pretty essential to get deer, because things were hard for us. my dad died when I was 13, and after that, I supplied the need as much as I possibly could.
I don't know if you went to hunting camps or not, but if you did, what do you remember about going to hunting camps or the stories about hunting camps?
No, I never went to hunting camps. I always hunted out of my home.
Do you remember any stories about hunting camps, about guys getting big bucks or funny stories about hunting camps?
I can remember people camped back along the where the pipeline is now up there, and I never really knew the people that well.
Do you always hunt around the pipeline, or was there a lot of people? And is that where you usually hunted?
I have generally hunted. Although the pipeline was not in that area, it was an old lumber camp originally.
Do you remember any embarrassing moments when you were hunting? Like, if you did anything funny or something made someone else laugh?
Well, embarrassing moments, I guess, probably were missing a deer that I should have easily got. That's happened.
Do you remember the story or any particular ones?
Well, I can remember one story. One particular buck, which turned out to be small, a small buck as well, but I missed him in real close range. I just happened to be facing the wrong way, and the deer came from behind me and walked right behind me. It was in about 15 feet, and I swung around real quick and took a wild shot and missed it, and after that,
Okay, whenever you can, try to make a story or remember a story and make this as long as possible. It's like when he's told to do this, just said, let him go on as much as possible. Because that's what we need to do for this, is to make stories and stuff. That's what helps out a lot. What do you remember about shooting your biggest buck?
Well, unfortunately, that's the same story I told in the first place.
Is there anything funny happened about that?
Well, there was this fellow who was with me, unloaded his gun. Every time I fired my rifle, he worked the action on his and didn't realize he wasn't shooting. Never pulled the trigger, just worked the action and everything was over. When the buck finally went down, we looked on the ground and there was, his shells were all piled up on the ground. Very empty.
Where did you learn to hunt deer? Was it just like natural, basic, watch your older brothers, or you learn that kind of on your own?
I was always real interested in hunting, and my dad hunted, and even before I was anywhere near old enough to hunt, I was always interested in what they were doing, and I couldn't go with them, but I was always watching for them. And we used to have hunters come up in the fall, and there were people coming to stay at our house, and I was always watching for their car to pull in, before the season started. People used to come up from downstate. Because I guess at that time there was very few deer down here. There used to be a real heavy migration of hunters from the north. And at that time they had to cross the Straits of Mackinac on a ferryboat. And I can remember watching, they usually come after dark at night and we'd be sitting there by the window watching for them. And I loved to sit around and listen to their deer stories. And that's where I developed my interest.
How was hunting different then than like it is now? Was it different? Or?
Well, I don't know just how different it is. During the 40s, of course, during the war years, there was very few people who could come up to hunt. And most of the young fellows were in the service, including myself, of course. I wasn't there to hunt between the years of 1942 and 1945. I got out of service and was able to hunt again. And there were very few hunters, but then, as you know, there's been very few this last fall in our area, in our particular area. A lot of people are still coming to the North Woods, but they're going farther to the western end of the Upper Peninsula.
Was the honey different after World War II? Was there like a large flock of people going up there like after the war and after the men were out of service?
Well, right after the war, yeah, there was quite a few people started coming up right after the war again. And then, of course, when the Mackinac Bridge was built, well, it made transportation easier. So there, I mean, there has been there's been a lot of people coming to the Upper Peninsula to hunt, but not so much right in Hoopack County. Our area is not one of the greatest designated hunting areas. Although this last year, the last two or three years, the hunting has improved, it's coming back.
Indeed, I just got my license. What do you remember about making blinds? It probably wasn't different or anything, but was there any?
When I was younger, I seldom went to the trouble of really making a blind. I'd find a natural blind, a windfall or someplace to where I stick a bunch of evergreen trees or something like that. I just take cover and stand. I do a lot of standing. Now that I'm older, I like to build a seating stand or someplace where I can sit down. And but now I find it difficult to sit as long as I used to. I used to have patience and be able to sit all day, but it's a little more difficult now.
What do you remember about tracking deer? Was it any long particular ones that you track a long ways, or any big bucks you track a long ways?
Yes, I've always been one to try to track any deer that I've wounded. I try to make sure they don't escape if they're mortally wounded. One in particular, I must have followed Ryan Dennis, my younger boy. Must have followed about 2 or 3 miles before we finally caught up with it, and that was a nice pinpoint. And your dad, the big buck your dad has got here, I was there to help track that one, and I enjoy it. It's a challenge to be able to track a wounded deer.
How were the people different that hunted? Was there, I know in UP it's different, that you can pretty much go wherever you want without permission of people's land and people don't say anything. But when, back in the 30s and 40s, was that still the same?
It was, back in the 30s and 40s, people didn't mind if you crossed their property. It was just neighbors, we were all neighbors, and everybody did it. All hunters that came up, they were welcome to walk across your property as long as they didn't tear down fences or do damage to that kind of thing. And what was the rest of your question? Is it pretty much the same?
Yeah.
Well, it is still pretty much the same. The property, so much property is state-owned and owned by the big timber companies up north, that you can pretty well go wherever you please. You know, there's some private land that's posted now that didn't used to be, but it's still quite open. There's lots of country to hunt for yet.
What do you remember about making drives? Was there any particular time when you made a drive or maybe kicked out a big buck?
Well, driving has never been one of my main ways of hunting. I mean, that's one of the later things that I've taken up, and that's been after your dad and Uncle Bill and Dennis have grown up. We have, as a family, we've made drives. I never made drives with other groups of hunters to speak of. But driving is quite effective now. I mean, I enjoy it.
Is it more effective than sitting, or do you think?
I think sitting is really the best method. If you know the country and know where the runways are, I think you can find a good spot that will pay off in sitting more than driving.
What do you remember about hauling a deer out of the woods, dragging one out, maybe a situation where you dragged one a long ways?
Well, that's unfortunate. I always hunted so far away from home, especially when I was younger, that I'd end up killing a deer 3-4 miles from home, and I'd be all alone. In some cases, I had to follow the deer partway out and leave it until the next day and go back and start hauling again, crossing creeks and everything all by myself. It's pretty rough. I don't do that anymore.
You remember about anything about short drags? Maybe you killed a deer right by the truck?
Oh, yes. I killed a nice 8-point buck right behind the house one time. Right in the field, right behind the house.
The old house?
The old house, yeah. Your dad and And June was still getting ready for school. It was about, it was barely daylight. When I shot that one, drug it in, that was the easiest one I ever got, I believe.
What do you remember about teaching your kids to hunt? What do you remember about putting them out in the woods or teaching
them? Well, the boys, they were pretty much as I was when I was a kid. They had such an interest in it, they couldn't wait. their mother even go out with them and sit and just watch for deer, you know, before they were old enough to hunt, they would just go out with their mother and sit under a tree and watch. And the deer was plentiful at that time, so they almost always see some, you know. And I think gun safety is important. At that time, we didn't have it in the schools, you know. I always tried to teach them gun safety as best I could, you know. I'm sure they would love to get a gun, never aimed at all, you know. Carried it carefully, never climbed through wire fences or anything with a gun loaded. And I think that's about it.
Alright. What's maybe you have a proud moment when you're hunting, like you made a good shot or a good spot?
Yeah, I think probably about as proud as I ever was with the 10-point buck I got on the pipeline that I shot at about 300 yards from Uncle Dennis's. Back there, he'd shot at the deer two or three times, and the deer had crossed the one pipeline, and when he come out on the other one, I was making a drive, and I came out on the pipeline, and the buck came out on the pipeline just about the same time on the other pipeline. And I was able to sit down, take a dead rest, and got him on the other one. I was really happy that time. Also, I made a nice shot out west with a mule deer that I was pretty proud of. I hand-loaded my own shells and when I was lucky enough to down a buck right there at about 300 yards, I was pretty proud of that.
I remember you telling me stories about hunting when you were sick and just about doing anything to hunt. Do you remember any stories or anything about hunting when you were sick or
when I was sick? Well, I can't remember any particular time except that I worked the, at that time I was working the swing shift, and I'd come home off the midnight shift and I'd be tired and still grab the gun and head out and hunt all day sometimes. One time I hunted all day, still hunted, kept walking, and finally about 2:30 I sat down on a little knoll in the swamp, and I sat there and leaned back against a white birch tree. I sat on a little knoll and leaned back against a white birch and went to sleep, and I finally woke up again about, it was about 5, and finally woke up, and when I did, there was a buck just coming out. It was a 4-point, small one. I was lucky enough to get him.
Do you remember anything about hunting with your wife and my grandma? Any stories about that, hunting with her?
There was one instance where we hunted back on Brady Park. We had a long hike through the swamp to get back there, and we carried lunch because we knew we weren't going to be walking right back out at noon. And we hunted in there from noon, and we hadn't seen anything. And so we sat down to eat our lunch, and I was going to build a little fire, one of my sandwiches. And when I did, I was breaking limbs and making quite a racket. And all of a sudden, I heard this scurrying noise under the trees right next to me. And I looked, and it was usually. And come to find out, it was a nice buck. He was standing on the other side of the evergreen trees. And of course, he spotted me, and I got away from my gun because I was breaking his limbs to build a fire. And by the time I got to my gun, he got away. But that was the one time that my grandma was with me. And it was really exciting, you know, for the time, but I didn't get him.
Okay, what do you remember about any deer stories you heard that were amazing you didn't believe? Like, maybe you heard someone, and a story you might have heard from someone that you just can't believe.
It's kind of hard to recall a story like that. I hunt in a small group of people, like, you know, I don't hunt a large group.
Did that go on, like, some of the guys maybe in town that heard maybe someone that came up, was that something they did, is maybe try to make their buck hunt a little bit bigger and a little bit heavier?
Well, I mean, that's an ordinary trait of hunters, is to overestimate the weight of their deer. But to think of a specific time, I mean, it's happened so many times, it was hard to recall a specific
Do you remember anything about maybe not having many shells or some gun you used that was a little different from what you usually use from deer hunting?
Not having many shells? Well, that was rather common. When I was young, I couldn't afford very many, so oftentimes I'd be hunting with maybe have only 3 or 4 shells.
Do you remember anything about stalking the deer, maybe sneaking up on one that you didn't think you could do, or like seeing one far away in a field and sneaking up on it a little bit?
Well, I can remember one instance that wasn't my own story. It's one that Dennis told. And that was just the very last of the season. But he was walking, he hit this deer track, and the track he went to the hardwood back of his grandmother Creedon's place, and he was walking along. The snow was real soft, real fresh snow, and real soft and fluffy and quiet. And he walked up on the deer right in his bed. The deer evidently was sleeping. Didn't know he was there at all. But then his rifle misfired, and he ended up, he didn't get it anyway. But he walked up with him about 12 feet.
Hey, do you remember, what do you remember about cleaning out your first deer? Where'd you learn?
Well, I had, on my first deer, I had help, of course. The big buck this fellow was with me, he was an older, experienced hunter. And so I carefully watched how he dressed that one up. And then I was also lucky enough, my older brother, Dick, my brother Dick, went with me another time and helped me dress one up. So I had a couple lessons before I really tackled it myself.
Alright.
That's about the way it is with the boys too. When they first started hunting, I dressed up the first couple of days for them, and after that, they were able to do it.
Alright, those are all my questions for now.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot, Grandpa.
Yeah.